Hello, and welcome to the Apostolic Church Liverpool podcast. We hope the message you're about to listen to will inspire you, will be a blessing to you, and give you perspective in life. For more of such messages, you can visit our website at www.tac-lona.org.uk. You can also access other messages and resources from our YouTube channel, The Apostolic Church Europe. We hope you're blessed and inspired by today's message. God bless you. Here's the message.
Once again, I want to thank God for the privilege that I have to share God's word with us. I want to thank the church leadership for this awesome privilege. I know the weather is cold. I know that some of us are still feeling a little bit shh. So you have the permission to tap your neighbor if you notice that they are sleeping or drowsing or feeling a little under the weather. Amen. I can still see people folding their hands and with our jackets and all that. Amen. So you have the Holy Spirit's permission to ensure that we hold each other accountable to receive what God has for us. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 6 to 9. 1 Samuel 18, verse 6 to 9. As they returned home after David had killed the Philistine, the women poured out of all the villages of Israel, singing and dancing, welcoming King Saul with tambourines, with festive songs and lutes. In playful frolic, the women sang. And what was their song? Saul kills by the thousand. David by the 10,000. This made Saul angry, very angry. He took it as a personal insult. He said, they credit David with 10,000 and me with only thousands. Before you know it, they'll be giving him the kingdom. And from that moment on, the Bible says Saul kept his eye on David. Can we jump over to the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and verse 2. As for us, we've read something in the Old Testament about Saul, but as for us, say, as for me. Look at your neighbor and say, as for you. As for us, we have all these great witnesses who encircle us like clouds. So we must let go of every wound that has pierced us, every wound that has pierced us, and the sin we so easily fall into, then we will be able to run life's marathon race with passion and determination, for the path has already been marked out before us. Verse 2, we look away from the natural realm and we fasten our gaze unto Jesus. I take that again. We look away from the natural realm and we fasten our gaze unto Jesus, who birthed faith within us and who leads us forward into faith's perfection. His example is this: because his heart was focused on the joy of knowing that you and I will become his own, he endured the agony of the cross and he conquered its humiliation. And now he sits exalted at the right hand of the throne of God. Say amen. Father God, we thank you for your word. We ask, oh God, that as we sit to listen to that which you want to say, you will speak to us. That which your people shall listen to today will not be my voice, but will be your voice and your message. In Christ Jesus' unfailing name we prayed. Amen. Today we are concluding our series on breaking barriers. So this is part 4. And this has been subtitled, I am unstoppable. Say, I am unstoppable. By way of quick recap, you remember in the very first episode or first part one, Pastor took us through some 9 types of barriers and then some 3 principles by which we can begin to break barriers. We spoke about this principle of belief and then acknowledging God as the one that is able to open doors and God's affinity to cross his hands. How many of us remember that? If you remember, wave your hand. Good, good. Then in the second part, we spoke about David and Goliath. Yeah, that's 1 Samuel 17. But the text we started with today is immediately after that, 1 Samuel 18. So it's almost a continuation of that, but from another angle. And last week we looked at I am anointed. We did an exposition on Zechariah chapter 4, and we saw some five barrier breaker principles, as it were, that was in that vision that Zechariah saw. Today, we want to dwell around this idea of being unstoppable. God has given us this now word that we are breaking barriers. But there is also the implication of that, or the possibility that is untold, in the sense that not only are we to break barriers, we are actually to become unstoppable. We are actually to go forth into the rest of our journeys as people that are perpetual barrier breakers, serial barrier breakers. Say, I am unstoppable. But specifically, we want to look at one major barrier that, from where I come from, there is a word called afowofa. Afowofa means you caused it yourself. Yeah, A1 in Yoruba. There are some barriers that you don't get to pray them away because you are the one that is erecting it. So even as you are praying, you might still continue to be erecting it. And as I was waiting on God on what to share with us today, that was what the Lord drew my attention to, the barrier of comparison. And of course, at this time of the year, when one year is going, wrapping up, and another one is coming in, you start seeing all sorts of posts on social media about people talking about how their year has been and all the different things that they've achieved and accomplished. And you might start looking at yourself and wondering, how much have I been able to do this year? Look at that person. He did this, he did that. She got this, she got that. But here I am, all the things I asked for. Oh God, what's going on? Before you sweep into that mode, or switch into that mode, as it were, I just thought to leave us with a few thoughts about comparison, many of which we've heard before, is a reminder for most of us. And then a way that the Lord is helping me to think through scenarios like that. Because of course, I'm also on social media and I also see what my mates are doing, quote unquote. And I could also switch often and again into that mode of thinking, what if I wish, you know, and all those kind of thoughts. But from what we read about Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 18, the very first thing that comes across from that story is that comparison can make you proud, and pride will make you fall. Comparison can make you proud, and pride will make you fall. The women were singing as they are gifted to do. And they were singing poetically. And their song is cursing King Saul. I mean, the Bible literally mentioned in that verse that he was King Saul. He is the king. Like, nobody is contesting that with you. You are the king, yeah? At least as of that time, he's still the king, even though in God's eyes, he was already losing it. But this is part of the reasons why he was going to eventually lose it and lose it completely. Because he wasn't secure in that which he has been given. He's beginning to think of other things and fixing his attention. Bible says from that day onwards, he set his eyes on David. It's the same thing that happened to the person we call Satan, Lucifer. Bible makes us know that it was not always like that. But he kept setting his eyes on the glory of the Father. He kept setting his eyes, if only I could actually be like God. Not just be like God, if only I could be God and take his place. And that's what led him down, as we saw in Isaiah 14, verse 12 to 15, also somewhere in Ezekiel. It's the same story we saw in Genesis 3 when the fall of man happened, Adam and Eve. The devil came again as a serpent. He tempted them. But what he said that actually got Eve's attention was, he said, this fruit that you said, God said you should not eat, if you eat it, it will make you wise and you will become like God. When the Bible was clear from the very first chapter, Genesis 1, he made them in his image and after his likeness. And they were wondering, oh, so God has been keeping something from us. Okay, let's eat it and get that or that thing. Let's be like let's be like 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 5. Let's actually read that together from the Passion Translation. It says, God resists you when you are proud, but he multiplies grace and favor when you are humble. Simple, straightforward. There is no need to explain it. It's explanatory. If you are proud, not only are you fighting yourself or doing a Afawofa syndrome, God, God is resisting. If God is the one resisting, who will you call to come and rescue you? David said it's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of God. Look around you. If your neighbor is sleeping, tap them. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. I can't wait for us to get to that chapter when in our journey in 2 Corinthians. We just started that on Thursday. How many of us were happy with the introduction? Amen. It's going to be an exciting study. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. This is actually in the context of the super apostles, those who believe they are more apostolic than Apostle Paul. He says to them, when they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they lack wisdom and they behave like fools. And isn't that what social media has sold us? They lie that social media has sold us. It gives us just that free opportunity to compare ourselves with ourselves. And if we are not careful, we will be carried away with that. They that compare themselves with themselves, they lack wisdom and they behave like fools. The second and apparently obvious point from that passage in 1 Samuel is that comparison will make you insecure. That's actually the root issue for Saul, his insecurity. There was a man that before he was appointed, Bible says he was head and shoulder taller than everyone. There were so many things that were unique and distinct about him. God has gifted him in his own way. He wasn't looking to become a king. He was looking for his father's missing donkeys when God led him to meet Samuel, who prophesied, and he became the king. You couldn't have it better. Your destiny could not have been better rewritten in that sense. But yet, even then, he wouldn't let himself stop looking and fixing his gaze on someone else. He wouldn't let himself out of the grip of his own self-caused insecurity. I put down some few symptoms of insecurity just in case you are wondering what are we talking about. What is insecurity? If you cannot celebrate the success of someone else, you're probably insecure. If you are stingy with compliments, you see that Pastor Mrs. is looking exceptionally beautiful and you have not said it to her. If you've got anyone in your life that secretly you will be happy if you heard that they fail, like, yeah, let them also know that people can fail. If you have someone like that in your life, perhaps you are being insecure. If you find yourself always scrolling through people's news feed on social media and hardly making any posts or comments. So now it is all of us. And lastly, we are always linking what is going on in someone else's life to yours. God has given you your own race to run. Run it. He has given the other person his own race to run. Let them run it. May the Lord deliver us from insecurity in Jesus' name. And the third is that comparison can deepen our ignorance of our own uniqueness, our unique calling. Scientists will say that there are no two fingerprints alike. Much more than that, there is a divine signature of God upon every soul that is unique. There is something only you can do that nobody else will do it like you. And you should be happy with that. And there will be a million other things that you can't do the way someone else does it. And that's okay. It's just life. In fact, it's the beauty that is in life. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 in the New Living Translation says, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he had planned for us long ago. There is something that God has planned for Joseph Kolawole Ola long ago. There's something he has planned for Titi Adelibigbe long ago. There's something he has planned for you and for me. And it's our duty to find that and sink ourselves into that. If you want to have an overview of what that looks like, two things that you need to know to discover your calling. One, our general calling is to become more and more like Jesus. Romans 8:29, he has predestinated us to be conformed to the image of his dear son, that he might be the firstborn amongst many brethren. That's one of our primary callings. The second is to become more and more unlike any other person, because you are different. God is a God of variety. He loves variety. He delights in variety. You just see all sorts of insects, all sorts of birds, whatever is your fancy. You find all manner of shapes, features, and you're wondering, why is this one like this? Why is that one like that? Why is the wings of the peacock as colorful as it is, and that of a dove is just plain white? It's the same God that made them. Because it delights in that. Psalm 33, verse 15 in the New King James Version says, he has fashioned our hearts individually. The way he fashioned your heart and the way he fashioned mine, there is an individual touch to it. So when we come to this realization, it leads us to one simple conclusion. Stay in your lane. Say to your neighbor, stay in your lane. If you don't stay in your lane and you are doing driving tests, you are failed. There's no quicker way to fail than that. Abimeyo, you are trying to pass your driving test, but you are yet to master how to stay in your lane. It'll be like, if we say this one should go and drive, we'll go and crush someone else. Stay in your lane. That brings us to this Hebrews 12. There are two phrases that I draw attention to in that. It says that we must look away, and then we must fix our gaze on Jesus. Look away from the crowd. Look away from the sins that easily betangle us. Look away from the distractions. Fasten your gaze on him that is before you and the race that he has set before you. Look away from the various models that you are comparing yourself to, and fix your gaze on the only one you are supposed to become more and more like, even our blessed Savior. Look away from Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok to find your worth, and look to the one who defines your value, the one in whom we discover that our value is worth much more than likes and shares and tweets and views and retweets. Amen. Look to the prize. Look to Jesus. Say to your neighbor, look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. As we go into 2022, make that your resolution. I want to look to Jesus. I want to lean on his everlasting arms. I want to stand on the promises of Jesus. All those hymns, let's not just sing them. Let them shape the way we see and engage with our blessed Savior. Let's become obsessed with him and with his word. And especially at this time of the year when a new year is in the offing, the way the Lord helped me to begin to think of this, especially last couple of years, is in terms of priorities, in terms of priorities. And God began to take me through a reset of my priorities in certain areas. And the more I pondered on those, the more I understood what the Holy Spirit was saying, the more I discovered that my success is predictable by the quality of my priorities. And what I was defining as I am successful before is because of what I rate high. But now that my priority is being reoriented, I know that success is very elastic and very relative. And the only success that matters to you and I is good success, the one that comes from the Father's verdict. And sometimes that may not even look to the people of the world as you being successful. The quality of your future, the quality of 2022, will be as good as the quality of the priorities that you set. Some of us might have seen this picture or heard of this parable or this analogy of a lecturer that came to the class and was trying to, they usually use it when they're talking about time management. And he brought a jar and he filled it with sand to begin with. And he asked, is the jar full? And they said, no, it's not full. He put in some pet bulls, and then he asked, is the jar full? They said, yes, it's full. He put in some big gravels or rocks, and of course, the jar began to overflow. And then he flipped it around and put in the big rocks first and asked, is the jar full? He said, it looks full. But then he put in the little smaller pebbles, gave it a shake. They saw that, oh, the jar could still take some more. And he asked, is it full? Yeah, it looks like it's full. Maybe it could still have some more things. They put in some sand. And so in those two pictures, it's the same content. The only difference in how much the jar was able to contain is in terms of what goes into the jar first. So the order of priority. And of course, like I said, they use that in time management. If you feel like 24 hours is too small for all that you have to do, sometimes they will say, just do the most difficult ones, the ones that look gigantic, like, I don't think I can do this. Get those ones done first, and you discover that you still have a lot of time left for other things. But I brought that up to remind us of this principle about priorities. And I'm going to leave us with five priorities very quickly that we can begin to consider as we approach a new year and see all that God might want us to see therein. Priority number one, prioritize faithfulness over success. You see that success there is in quotes, because by success, I mean success the way the world defines success. Faithfulness over success. And that's actually coming from a quote from Mother Teresa. She said, God did not call me to be successful. He called me to be faithful. God did not call me to be successful. He called me to be faithful. And give that a think, really. All he's asking from us is not, at the end of the day, when you stand before God, it won't be how many houses did you have? How many cars did you drive? How many degrees did you earn? How many whatever did you have? It's all about, have you done what I sent you to do? And what he has sent us to do individually varies. For some people, it's so, I mean, you could almost ignore it. You could almost not notice it to the point that you can even underrate it. But as long as the person faithfully does that, he gets before the Father and hears, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. God is after our readiness. He's after our availability. Are you available? Are you ready? Are you able to do that? Are you dependable to do that which he wants you to do? And therefore, our value can never be by the shifting shadows or shifting sounds of our culture. It's determined by Christ and Christ alone. Because at the end of the day, our goal is to make him famous and not to make ourselves famous, so that we can hear that word. Well done. Good job. You're a good and faithful servant. I'll quickly move on to the next. Okay, let me read this scripture in Isaiah 49, verse 4. This is Prophet Isaiah speaking about his ministry in a sense. It's a messianic prophecy. But from Isaiah chapter 6, when God actually called Isaiah, some people will say the first five chapters of Isaiah, Isaiah was just talking. But in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, it says, I saw the Lord upon the throne, and then woe unto me, for I am a man of unclean lips and all that. And then God gave him a mandate and a mission. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9. God said, go and speak to these people so that by your speaking, they won't understand. And by your talking, they won't hear. In seeing, they won't see. In hearing, they won't hear. That's the mission God gave Isaiah. Go and prophesy and know that the people you are going to prophesy to, they won't understand and they won't obey. And the same Isaiah now said in Isaiah chapter 14, I said to myself, I am completely worn out. My time has been wasted, but I did it for the Lord God and he will reward me. In other words, what he was doing, there was no result. It was disobedience that was meeting it. But yet he is certain that God will reward him, because God is not looking for the results. He's looking for the faithfulness. Have you done what I said you should do? And this is important, because the truth is, in life, there will be seasons that we'll go through when it will look like we are not fruitful, when it will look like your mates are achieving more or they are doing much more than you are doing. And sometimes that's just part of the cycles of life, that the Holy Spirit will take you through for some character development. But that doesn't mean that you are down and out. I'll move on to priority number two. My time is fast spent. Priority number two, prioritize divine timing over speed. Divine timing over speed. Divine timing over speed. Because, again, speed is relative. What you thought you've achieved speedily, when you hear someone else's testimony, you'll be like, wow, there's another level. And we live in a world where whatever is fast is alluring. Having tasted a MacBook Pro, I never want to go back to using a Windows computer because something is different. Whatever is fast is alluring. But at the end of the day, there is also the fact that God has a time attached to the activities and events of our life. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, it says, God makes everything happen at the right time. We can never completely understand everything he does, yet he does everything at just the right time. In the KJV, it says, he makes all things beautiful in his own time, in his own time, in his own time. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And many times, his time is not our time. Priority number three, prioritize fulfillment over money. Money, that matter. Money, I need money, don't get me wrong. Let's be clear with that. Bible says money answereth all things. Of course, that's a poetic statement. We know that there are things money cannot buy. But having said that, if money is the determining factor for all that you do, it's a big question mark. Because at the end of the day, it's not your bank statement that you stand before God to give an account for. It's what he has sent you, what he has sent you to do. In fact, some people say that if you want to know what God has sent you to do, ask yourself the question, if money is not a problem, if I know for sure that I will have all the money that I need, what is that thing that you would do? What is that thing that you would create? What is that thing that you will invest in and pour yourself into? That can begin to point you to the area where God is expecting you to give expression to what he has given you. Discovering your calling is like finding the task that God has created for you to do, and he never sends anyone on a mission without making adequate provision to see that mission accomplished. Or I like to say it, that God will not send you on an errand without giving you transport fare. Amen. Say amen. Priority number four, because of our time, prioritize progress over perfection. Progress over perfection. As long as you are developing, as long as you are not yet where you want to be, but you are on the journey, God loves that. God loves that. I know he loves that because he displayed it right from the very introduction to God in the Bible. The story of creation. After each day. In fact, the first day, all he created was light. And verse 2 of Genesis 1 already tells us the heart was without form, it was void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. The Spirit of God was hovering upon the surface of the water. Everything was formless, meaningless, shapeless. And God said, let there be light. I believe that if you put on light into something that is formless and shapeless and empty, the light will reveal how ugly the situation is, isn't it? Yet, the Bible says at the end of that day, God looked at what he has done and he said, it is good. He knows that this is not the full story. He knows what he's going to do. But yet, at every single step along the way, he kept celebrating it. And God looked and he said it was good. And the evening and the morning, it was the first day. Moves on, does a little more the next day. And he looks again and says it was good. Till he created man on the sixth day. And he looks at everything and says it was very good. Prioritize progress over perfection. Of course, the reason why that is even all the more important is because we know that on this side of eternity, we can't be perfect. No matter how you try, when you think that you are the most perfect person, you find another more perfect person, which means your perfection is flawed. And that person's standard of perfection is being measured against something that is still flawed, when eventually we compare it to the standard of perfection of the only perfect one, which is God. Isn't it? Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. There has never been the slightest doubt in my mind, Paul says, that the God who started this great work in you would keep at it and bring it to a flourishing finish when, on the very day that Christ Jesus appears. It's not going to happen now. But as long as you know that you are making progress. So at the beginning of this year particularly, I had some goals, I had some visions, I had some dreams. Has everything been achieved? No. Did I make progress? Yes. And so have I been successful? Yes. Because it's no longer about, did you get 100%? It's about, are you making progress? Are you on the journey? Prioritize progress over perfection. And lastly, prioritize contentment over any other thing. In other words, whatever season you are in, because you are a child of God and your Father is the grand controller of everything, you have all it takes to enjoy all he has. And so what he has given you per time, be satisfied with it. Paul said in 1 Timothy, I think chapter 6, godliness with contentment is great gain, not small, not little. It's great gain. And I learned from one American author, Max Lucado, very many years ago, and this has stayed with me, that what I have in God is greater than whatever I lack in life. At any given point in time, there are things I lack, yes. But what I have in God, talk to the one who controls everything. If that is all I have, is greater than what I lack. All that I have in God is always, always greater than what I lack in life. And secondly, the realization that God has called us to a blessed life, not a successful life in the sense of how the world describes success. If you look at those two pictures and you're asking which of those two people are blessed, the fact is it could be either, it could be both, it could be neither. Because if you are just judging by the pictures, you would miss it. Blessing is not physical. It's deeper than that. If it is earthly, if all that you are thinking and celebrating is earthly, it's not blessing. If all that you are celebrating and rejoicing about is temporal, then it's not blessing. If it is not eternal, if it can be taken away, it's not blessing. Bible says in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22, true enrichment comes from the blessing of the Lord with rest and contentment in knowing that it all comes from God. In knowing that it all comes from God. Let me conclude by just recapping all that we've said. We started with comparison, and we said it will put a barrier on your path of progress. Not just putting a barrier, but it will make you put a barrier on your path of progress. But rather than do that, why not reset your priorities? Prioritizing faithfulness over success, divine timing over speed, fulfillment over money, progress over perfection, and contentment over every other thing. So I'm going to pray now. This scripture, the Lord dropped it in my heart as I was preparing the message. In fact, I initially thought that this was what the message was going to be about before the Holy Spirit took me down a different route. It says, you crown the year with goodness and your ways overflow with plenty. I believe that's a word for someone that God wants you to know. Yes, you are feeling overwhelmed in terms of all that is left to be done, that you don't have the resources for. There's no problem. He will crown 2021 with goodness, and your ways will overflow with abundance, with plenty, in the name of Jesus. Father God, we thank you because your word is alive. We thank you because you continue to speak to us as your children. You continue to remind us that the life that we have in us is abundant. It's abundant life. We thank you for making us unstoppable barrier breakers. And we thank you for giving us the tools from all the lessons you've taken us through this month, the tools to go forth with to continue to break barriers serially. We give you the glory and praise. And we ask, help us to remember that our worth and our value is in you and in you alone and in nothing and in nothing else. To you be all the glory and praise. In Jesus' unfailing name we prayed. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you.